You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Trey Wingo. Tre'Davious, welcome to the show.
Well, Peter, first of all, I've never been described as luxurious before. I feel like I'm a carpet or something. That was very nice. I appreciate that.
You look at you though. Look, you're a gorgeous man. The name Trey Wingo, the buttery voice, the silky smooth broadcasting skills. You are luxurious.
Now, how are we doing? Because apparently, I went on Twitter and Michael is very concerned today that things will go poorly, but I'm assuming everything has gone fine?
I mean, listen, so far as we know, the station's broadcasting license is still intact. No one's been fired since the show started, and we've been on the air for over an hour, Trey.
Then I think this should allay all of Michael's fears, because that must mean you're doing everything right.
Trey, I'm glad to have you on, and I want to congratulate you on an absolutely tremendous run at ESPN. I mean, when you started out your broadcasting career, did you ever imagine that you would have spent a couple of decades as a staple at the worldwide leader in sports?
I was hopeful, but I would not have been presumptuous enough to think that would have happened. So,
what was the first job for you?
First job for me was in on air or just in television?
Let's go on air.
On air was in Binghamton, New York, in 1988. WMGC TV. It was a ABC affiliate, which I don't think even exists anymore. But I was there for 2.5 years, and then I went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, for 9 months, and then St. Louis for 6 years, and then in November of 1997. ESPN hired me, and I was there until November of 2020.
So how are you feeling, by the way, just from an emotional standpoint? 23 years, all kinds of jobs, NFL Live to mornings to everything in between. You've really done it all, to NFL draft. I mean, just so many different things. How do you feel emotionally about it kind of coming to an end here?
You know, I don't want to sound blasé about it, but you know, this has been sort of a long time coming. I mean, I feel fine with it. I mean, I wish I would tell you that. I'll give you an example. We knew this was coming in August. That once my contract was up, that they had made their decision for whatever reason to not go forward, and that's fine. That's their job. That's their decision. Mm-hmm. So I've had a long time to sort of deal with that. But I do remember when I went in to film the fantasy football draft in August, you know, and I was saying to myself, okay, you know, look around. This might be your last time ever, you know, doing a show at ESPN. And I was looking around and I was like, I think it's time. So, you know, I'm fine with it along those lines. That being said, I want to be clear. It was a really, really fun job for a long time, and I made some of the best friends that are still my best friends in my life over there. I mean, Mark Slareth and I are still really good friends. Herm Edwards and I are still really good friends. Damian Woody, Teddy Bruschi, Darren Woodson, Tim Hasselbeck, Ryan Clark, Mike Golick. You know, all those guys are still really good friends of mine. So I have absolutely nothing but good memories about my time at ESPN.
If you were to point to one moment, either a story that broke that you were in the forefront of and you were on air when it happened, or one particular gig that maybe struck the most, what do you think it would be for the last 23 years?
Well, you know, there are so many of those moments because, as you said, I was very fortunate to do so many things. I mean, you know, when the whole Bob Knight thing went down at Indiana, I was hosting the 6 o'clock Sports Center, you know. It's 13 years ago? Is it 13 years ago today Sean Taylor passed away?
Yep, 13 years ago today.
Yeah, you know, 13, we were on air for that, you know, for all of that. There have just been so many wonderful things. I mean, I was at the Salt Lake City Olympics. You know, I've been to so many Super Bowls, I can't even count them. NBA Finals, U.S. Open, tennis, Wimbledon, Open Championships at the Open Championship in what we call the British Open, U.S. Open Golf. There have just been, like, if you could go down and say, hey, you know, here's the things that you want to do, like, I ticked every box except maybe one, so I'm really okay with all of that. The gig that meant the most to me, though, and just a lot of it because of longevity, was doing NFL Live for 15 years.
Yeah,
When NFL Live started in August of 2003, it was a half-hour show on ESPN2, Tuesday through Saturday, with no set time. We just, wherever
floated.
They could squeeze us in,
right.
It was a floating schedule. They'd squeeze us in. And it went from that to being, you know, if I may, a mainstay of people's attention in the NFL for a lot of years to an hour on ESPN. I'm really proud of that. Like, that was awesome, because football was always, as you know, Peter, has always been my favorite sport. And
yep.
Congratulations, by the way, to your football team, the first
Thank
place
you.
Washington football team.
That's right. They gave me quite a nice Thanksgiving, which was very nice.
Yeah, so that was just awesome, and that led to the draft and, you know, primetime and all the other stuff. So for me, if you're asking me to look back in my career of my time at ESPN, without question, because of what the sport has always meant to me and the longevity of it and the friends that I have because of it, it would be doing NFL Live all those years. It's not even a debate.
Well, I guess this is a perfect segue then to ask you about what you have in your immediate future. What is coming up next around the bend for Trey Wingo?
Well, there's a lot of things that are being discussed right now, which is great, and we're sort of shaking those things out. But I can tell you, phase one, Peter.
All right.
And yes, we're doing this in phases.
Okay.
Phase one is
I so hope it's going to be that you're doing a show on the Don and Dave LaGreca YouTube channel. I pray that's what this is.
Well, who told you?
You're doing a show with Don's friends, the Stark brothers. Is that true?
No, that is not true.
All right. Okay, sorry. What is it?
Starting next week, ladies and gentlemen, come to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, a new web series called Half Forgotten History. It's called Trey Wingo Presents.
Wow.
Basically, the entire idea is to sit, because, like, in all these conversations I've had with people leading up to my time at ESPN, almost every one of them has said, you know what was really good? Not only doing the shows, but talking to you guys and talking to you, Trey, about some of the great moments in sports and great moments in football that, you know, just sort of in the green room or while we're on the road somewhere, having a cocktail over dinner. And those stories are absolutely incredible. But they always were taking place away from the microphone, away from the camera. Well, that changes now, because starting next week, Trey Wingo Presents Half Forgotten History is basically going to be conversations over a cocktail with some of the great names in the history of the NFL. Some of the things that you've never known, like the one greatest lie everyone thought in NFL history turned out to be the truest statement that was ever made. The speech that Peyton Manning almost led to a mutiny of the Colts before they went out to win Super Bowl 41 over the Chicago Bears. What was the transition like, really, for the Patriots from Drew Bledsoe to Tom Brady? And did they ever really believe he was going to be that guy? And what took it to believe him to be that guy? Those kind of conversations. Why did the boat photo happen, and what do they think about it now for the New York Giants wide receivers? Those kind of things are being the things we're going to talk about, and it drops next Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Trey Wingo Presents Half Forgotten History. Shout out to our sponsors, Maker's Mark, State Farm, and McDonald's.
Whoa!
Big,
see, that's why his name, Trey Wingo, That's why really at the end of after that O, there's a money sign. Okay, when you talk about Trey Wingo, because when he brings Trey Wingo Presents Half Forgotten History, wherever you get podcasts next week, he already has the sponsors attached to it. And I don't know if you heard the sponsors. They weren't some weird sort of a product that's being promoted on podcasts where, you know, it's about some sort of thing that's going on with your body that's embarrassing. What were the sponsors again?
Maker's Mark Bourbon Whiskey, McDonald's, and State Farm Insurance.
My God, you're a heavy hitter, Trey Wingo.
We are very excited, and season one is almost completely done, and we're already steamrolling towards season two, and that's just phase one. There's some other things that are really close that I can't say just yet, but no, next Tuesday, the second is when it's going to drop, 12-2. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
That is amazing. All right, before I let you go here, though, let's talk NFL for a second.
Yes, sir.
Washington does get the blowout victory over the Cowboys yesterday. What the hell was going on with Mike McCarthy and some of those decisions with the Cowboys yesterday?
Well, if I knew the answer to that, I could go back in time and solve a lot of the world's problems.
Well, you would still need the time machine, though, Trey.
Correct. Well, we're working on a flux capacitor as well, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, Peter.
Right.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, you know, Jerry Jones, again, the only owner that has his own local radio show, went on and basically said this morning, well, you know, according to what Mike McCarthy told him, he felt the team was struggling on the time of the 4th-and-10 punt return. Well, hold on, okay? It was a 20-16 game, so it's a one-possession game. And the last two Washington possessions were a 3-and-out and the Jalen Smith interception. So
right.
You're in the game. So there's absolutely no reason to pull off that punt. And not only that fake punt, but the play they drew up, which with the motion pre-snap alerted something to the defense, and then the circumlocutious route that Wilson had to try and get. He didn't get back to the line of scrimmage. That was as bad of a situational play call as I have seen in a long, long time. And, you know, Jerry Jones had a specific idea on who he wanted to hire as the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and he ticked the boxes, but it ain't working. It ain't working right now, and it's a mess for the Dallas Cowboys.
You're right now, as of November 27th, 2020, your pick to win the putrid NFC East is?
It's going to be the Eagles by way of that tie. I really believe that tie, when it's all said and done, is going to give them the half-game edge that they're going to need. And remember, they were vilified for it at the time.
It was awful to tie Cincinnati, but now it's so much better than a loss. It's gigantic.
Correct.
Tom Brady, it's been a real mixed bag in Tampa. A few weeks ago, it felt like they were Super Bowl bound, and now it does not feel that way at all. Where do you think things end up landing for Tom and Tampa? They have a big game this week against Kansas City, which I guess will tell us a lot, against your favorite player, Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. Where do you see this going for Brady and the Bucs?
That is correct, by the way. Bruce Arians said something really interesting this week on his radio show, and I'm not sure a lot of people even picked up on it. He said, someone asked him, you know, when do you think Tom's going to get completely comfortable in the offense? Because that has been part of the problem. And he said, probably next season, which tells you, you know, it's such a disadvantage for all the people that are bringing in new. And the Giants would certainly be a part of that with Joe Judge and his new staff. If you have a veteran team in place with a veteran coach and a veteran quarterback, you have such an advantage in the NFL in this 2020 COVID season that we're trying to play our way through. And my God, the Ravens game has been moved again. You know, the NFL came out with the announcement today. It's going to be moved to Tuesday night. So just so people understand, in the Super Bowl era, we've had three Tuesday night games since in the Super Bowl era, two of them this season. So that tells you how malleable and flexible we're trying to be with the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, you know, that they'll look great one week and they won't look great the next. And as we get longer into the season, I think it's going to be increasingly more difficult for Tom to look great. That was the situation in New England last year where they started out really well. Granted, they had better wide receivers at the start of the year. But as the year wore on, it became more difficult. Now you take a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are very veteran, and they get Ben Roethlisberger back and they add a Chase Claypool and Tomlin is there. By the way, no losing seasons in his first 14 for Mike Tomlin, very underappreciated. And you mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs. They have the best player in the game at the most position with a really good head coach and a really good coaching staff still in place, because Eric Bieniemy amazingly didn't get a head coaching job this past offseason. Those teams, again, are going to have such an advantage going forward. And that's also why the Saints, you know, they started 1-2, whatever they did, or 2-3, whatever, 1-2, and they've won 7 straight games because even without Drew Brees, they have a system in place. They have veterans on that staff and veterans on that coaching staff, and that's making a huge, huge difference this year. It's really problematic for Tampa Bay. And listen, you know, this is almost a must-win game for them. I know it's out of conference, but they need to show that they can be as good as some people think they are, and yep. I think it's going to be really tough for them on Sunday.
Yeah, and Bruce Arians needs to engender some confidence because right now, I love the guy. We all know he's super appealing as a dude, but as far as a coach and him being someone who can coach a big-time NFL team to potentially be a threat in the playoffs, he needs to get this thing back on the tracks because it doesn't feel great.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
If you were a Jets fan, Trey, and this weekend you're sitting down to watch Sam Darnold back at starting QB, what are you rooting for? Are you rooting to see Sam Darnold play so well that you believe he can still be the future? Are you rooting for him to look good enough to be trade bait? Or are you hoping everything is just garbage so you can get Trevor Lawrence?
Well, you know, it's interesting, right? Because I'm never a tank for this, tank for that kind of guy. You play it out. I mean, look at what Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, did last year when they were specifically tanking for Tua. They ended up getting him anyway because Joe Burrow played his bleep off at LSU. But they bought into what Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager, were selling. And they turned that thing around, and they actually went in. They knocked the Patriots out of the bye last year with that win week 17 up in Foxborough. So I'm never one that says, oh, just pack it in for next year. But the Jets need to make a decision, and they've had problems with this. Are they fully committed to Sam Darnold or not? Because there was a report by Adam Schefter earlier this year. Well, you know, they were shopping him, but they realized they couldn't get a one back. Well, what does that mean? Like, what does that specifically mean? What's the plan? Like, I know that Jamal Adams had his issues with the Jets, but in the last, 10 or 12 first-round picks that the Jets have had, here's the list of players that were either multiple times in the Pro Bowl or All-Pro. Jamal Adams. That's it. That's the list. So you can either try and placate your best players or get rid of them. And I understand that Trevor Lawrence is there and he's very appealing, but you had a really high pick on Sam Darnold just 3 years ago. So are you saying that all of that was wrong? And you can't just do this, like, circle of incompetence. You can't just try and manufacture mistake after mistake. If you think all of the Jets' problems are based on Sam Darnold, then I got a different set of tape to show you. Has he not been what you wanted? Yeah, maybe, but where was wide receivers? His protection has been terrible. Where's the running game? How's that working out?
Where's the inventive play calling we're supposed to be getting from Gase?
That's exactly right. And if Adam Gase is giving up his play calling now, and that was his specialty, well, what is he doing? Like, what is he contributing to the team right now? If that's supposed to be, you know, his calling card, and that's certainly what helped Peyton Manning helped get him that job because based on his creativity and his play calling, well, if he's not even doing that and that's not even working, well, then what is he doing? What's the function? What is the contribution? And I don't mean that, you know, flippantly. I'm sure he's doing things, but if that's your calling card and you're willing to get rid of that calling card, then where are we? I mean, we're sort of in a It's like that
movie Palm Springs. We're sort of in this continuous time loop where it just never seems to end for the Jets.
By the way,
we've got to get out of this thing.
The movie Palm Springs or Groundhog Day is truly what it feels like to be a Jets fan at this point. I really feel
bad for them. I really do.
Me too. By the way, Trey, you know what's bad? It's bad that I feel bad for them, and I'm a Washington football fan. Okay, it's not like I'm a Patriots fan. Okay, and I still feel bad for Jets fans because they never even seem to get the full reset. I mean, there's nothing to make you believe they have the person there You know, maybe it's Joe Douglas, maybe, but we don't know that. We know it's certainly not Adam Gase, and we don't know for sure that they'll part with Adam Gase. We don't know what the Johnsons are thinking. So it's messy. Listen, one thing we do know is that on Tuesday, wherever you get podcasts, you can find Trey Wingo Presents Half Forgotten History. We're very excited to hear it, Trey. You always have a home on this show. We're huge fans of you.
Guys, Peter, whatever you need from me, anytime to do it. I really appreciate that. And again, quick thanks to our sponsors, Maker's Mark, McDonald, and State Farm. We're coming out of the gate strong with a Hall of Fame quarterback telling one of the great stories of all time. I think you're going to like it.
Trey, thank you, man. Have a great holiday weekend.
Peter, we appreciate it, buddy. Be good. Thanks.
Later. There he is, the great Tredavious Jeremetrius Wingo the Seventh money sign. Man.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.